It's January 8th, and this is the Civil War Podcast. It's the birthday of Union General Gouverneur Kemble Warren, born January 8, 1830. He grew up in Cold Spring, New York, within hearing of the morning and evening gun at West Point, and eventually attended the school himself. He distinguished himself at the academy, finishing second in the graduating class of 1850, and was admitted to the ranks of the engineering corps. His first assignment was with the topographical engineers surveying the Mississippi Delta. From these surveys, performed under the pressure of other duties and largely at night, he created the first comprehensive map of the region west of the Mississippi. His cartographic skills were further honed on railroad explorations while in the Dakota and Nebraska territories. In one memorable incident while campaigning against the Sioux, he marched his column directly through an untraveled route in enemy territory, mapping all the way. His scientific pursuits encompassed more than just cartography. While on his surveys of the territories, he collected fossils and animal specimens and cultural artifacts from the native tribes he encountered. His collections and meteorological studies are housed at the Smithsonian. When the Civil War erupted, Warren was a lieutenant teaching mathematics at West Point. The Academy granted him a leave of absence to accept a volunteer lieutenant colonelcy with the 5th New York, known as Duryea's Zouaves. Assigned first to Ben Butler, under whose command he sited the fort on Baltimore's Federal Hill, the Zouaves later served under McClellan, who remarked, quote, "The 5th is the best disciplined and soldierly regiment in the Army." He also made a lasting impression on the Prince de Joinville, who wrote, "Sometimes an officer of the regular army, desirous of distinguishing himself and having enough of influence in his state, raised a regiment and obtained from it an admirable result. Thus, a young engineer lieutenant named Warren was marvelously successful with the 5th New York Regiment." That regiment was mauled at Second Manassas. Defending against Longstreet's vicious assaults, the 5th suffered the Union's highest single-battle fatality amongst infantry regiments, losing nearly 300 of their 500 men within the first 10 minutes. His reputation as a deliberate and careful commander grew. He was promoted to brigadier general by McClellan. Hooker appointed him chief engineer of the Army of the Potomac and was relying heavily on his expert logistical advice by the outset of the Gettysburg campaign. At the Battle of Gettysburg, Warren's topographical prowess saved the Union line, and some would argue the Union itself. On the second day's battle, John Bell Hood's division planned to assault the poorly defended Little Round Top, from whose brow the Confederates could fire directly down onto the Union left flank. Recognizing the danger, Warren climbed the rocky hill to reconnoiter and noticed the glints of bayonets from the massing Confederate lines. He urgently called for assistance from nearby units and received Strong Vincent's brigade, composed of New Yorkers, Michiganders, Pennsylvanians, and Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain's 20th Maine from the 5th Corps. Despite desperate odds and a shortage of ammunition, the Federal force held the position and used its vantage on July 3rd to help repel Pickett's charge. As with the Confederacy, Gettysburg was Warren's high water mark. After the fight, he was hailed as the hero of Little Round Top and promoted to corps commander, but his deliberation and caution were not valued by the Western generals who arrived on the scene in 1864. Grant considered his meticulous nature a defect and gave the fiery Phil Sheridan, to whom Warren's 5th Corps was assigned for the Appomattox campaign, permission to relieve Warren if the need arose. Sheridan did so after the Battle of Five Forks with questionable accusations. After the war, Warren resigned his commission in frustration. He rejoined the Corps of Engineers, performing surveys and railroad work, and became an active member of various scientific societies, but his most passionate undertaking was the campaign to clear his name. He sought an investigation into Sheridan's decision, but Grant, first as General-in-Chief, then as President, stonewalled him. He was finally granted an inquiry when Grant's second term expired, but died before the results could be published. By his request, the lifelong soldier was buried in civilian clothes and without military honors. Stung by the treatment of their old commander, the veterans of the 5th New York Regiment made plans for a graveside monument, but by the time the funds were raised, a private headstone was in place. They turned their attentions instead to a statue on the Gettysburg battlefield, and the monument builder suggested the stone base of Little Round Top as a natural pedestal. Today, a bronze statue of Gouverneur Warren stands atop the rocks, field glasses in hand, gazing out over the battlefield. A plaque details his efforts and wartime career, ending with, "Major General Warren needs no eulogy. His name is enshrined in the hearts of his countrymen." An equally fitting memorial to the scientist soldier was established by Warren's daughter. The National Academy of Sciences still awards the G.K. Warren Fund every 4 years to prize winners in the field of geological science. You've been listening to the Civil War Podcast, a weekly podcast researched, written, and read by Aaron McGuire, with music by Tom Nagy. Thank you for listening.